Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Way back in the day, Brian Hooper and I started this show as pillars of the League of Legends community. And one thing that, you know, was really chapping our asses in that community was the toxicity. And one of the tentpole missions of LOL's ever since then has been removing toxicity in various spaces. And there's a lot of toxicity going on in the poker world these days. And today, Brian and I, not only are we going to dive into it, but we're going to do our best to remove it, to eliminate the toxicity. This is LOL's. Let's do it.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in 1 for yes, 2 for no, and let the DFS gods pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
Hello, hello, what is up? ATX is excited. Daniel making his first live show in 2 years. Holy cow, long time listener, first time live viewer. Welcome, Daniel. Paul, indeed, I am on my road to 15K. My giveaway challenge for best ball drafts, definitely helping me out there. Almost to 13K. No draft on today's show, but we would love it if you subscribed, if you liked, if you commented. GM, yes, IO, we're going to talk some poker drama today. Brian, how are you doing?
Good. Fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, what's so funny is like we often talk, and I feel like over the past month we've said this stuff of like DFS needs more beefs. Like you look at the poker world, which we all agree is a much bigger market, much bigger demographic, but they just have far more interesting stuff going on, constant heads up for roles, all of this stuff. Although very recently in the past couple of days, we've started to see kind of like the dark underbelly of this stuff where more and more people are feeling bullied. People are feeling kind of marginalized and basically like the dark side of what comes from this manufactured drama, if you will. And I want to talk a bit about the Phil Galfond post, largely about Doug Polk, but in general, what is your thoughts about some of the conversation that's bubbled up in the poker world the past few days?
I think the combination of poker and social media is the main difference.
Yeah.
There used to be drama all the time on 2+2 back in the day, but it's not the same. It doesn't hit like it is now, like, you know, making videos about each other that get 200,000 views and stuff like that. That was not happening before, but there was some pretty, pretty juicy drama back in the day. I think the difference is social media.
Yeah, I think so. And I do think there's two types of drama, right? Like there's the type where someone says, you suck at poker, I'm better than you. And they say, yeah. No, you suck at poker, I'm better than you. Let's put it to the test with real money on the line. And I think we all agree that's all fair game. And that's very fun and entertaining. Even like the Polk Negreanu stuff, any of these heads up for roles challenges are super entertaining from that perspective. But I think what Phil Galfond has been highlighting is how some of this has turned more into like, I would equate it to like political campaigning, like smear campaigns, where you're making almost ad hominem attacks. You're attacking people's appearance. You know, you're going below the belt in a way that kind of is veered away from what made the poker drama fun in the first place.
Yeah. I think it's a combination of personal attacks and business related too, which is new. I mean, card runners, deuces cracked. There was sites back then. I don't think they were the money makers they are now. Card runners probably made a shit ton of money, but there's a combination of business interest and personal vendettas. It's got a whole bunch of stuff.
So this is a funny question for Pigskin to ask. Is Pete the Polk of DFS? No. I think if you were try to do a very weak poor man's analogy, I would say I'm probably more Joey Ingram of DFS than Polk, I think, is a better comparison.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're still different than there's not a lot of developed media personalities in either of them, honestly. So
true. Yeah. The thing about the Polk stuff, right? In this post that Phil Galfond wrote, it's called The Elephant in the Room. If you go to his Twitter account, it's pinned, and I can drop it in the link here. It's a long post, but when he gets to kind of the meat of it, it's basically him saying, I've kind of sat on the sidelines for far too long. He knows that his voice has weight in the poker industry, and he also is at a position where he doesn't have to fear retribution from the Twitter eggs, from the Doug Polk army. And he basically speaks out and says, you know, what Doug Polk has been doing with his platform, it has equated to direct bullying. And there's been lots of trickle down harmful effects in the poker community that have since been normalized because it happens repeatedly. And I realized reading it, I was like, you're right, because I'm a Doug Polk fan. I got to know Doug Polk a little bit when I was doing my King of the Hill stuff with Poker Night in America as Mans. And when stuff happens, it's like the analogy, right, with the frog. If you toss him into boiling water, he jumps out. But if you slowly turn up the heat, the frog just dies because he doesn't recognize. And it was kind of the, you know what, now that you say it, a lot of the stuff he is doing is very mean, very bullying. And I didn't realize it until someone kind of like poured cold water on your face with it.
This happens a lot of the time too, where when it's in your self-interest for this guy to succeed and stuff like that, you might be a little quiet. You might not come out and say it. Not just that he's got a big platform and can attack you too. It's like, you know, maybe they want to be friends with him, use some of his influence, things like that. And they don't say anything. I could understand. I've watched a decent amount of his content. I don't know the man. I don't know any of the details here, but we're doing a gossip thing here. So I'll just,
that's what we do around.
Yeah. So I could see by watching him some of it. I could be like, okay, I could believe he's an asshole. You know?
Yeah.
I could believe he's I don't know if it's sociopath's the word. And I think that Galfond was a little bit of what's that meme? You know, I ain't reading all that meme. I'm happy for you though. Little long. So well, I skimmed some of it, but he says in there, he doesn't think he's a sociopath, which is worse because then that means he's like calculating all this stuff.
I was the same as you. I was reading it late at night and I was like, I need to go to bed. And I'm like, but I got to read this. And I was just skimming until I got to the Doug Polk stuff, because that was the part I wanted to read. And that's not to take anything away from Phil. Phil's a very smart thinker. He articulates his thoughts well, but I was like,
I am. I'm taking it away. Sorry. It was too fucking long. It's like, what is a good person? You know, it's like, okay, Phil. Okay, Phil.
Yeah.
What does it mean to be moral?
Yeah.
Like, all right, guy.
But right, I understand. So I think the reason he did that, probably two reasons. One, he like wanted to share his full range of thoughts, but two, you have to kind of soften the blow, right? He didn't want to start out the post with Doug Polk is a big bully and he must be stopped. He wanted to ease into it. You do a little calisthenics, a little warm up.
It's also very modern language, bullying, blah, blah, blah. And all, and you know, you can't just say like this guy's a piece of shit, you know, or whatever.
And so like, I want to get into like a couple things about it, because a couple of the comments are hitting on this right now. Drama is what gets views. And that's what Doug has always struck me as Doug is, and Phil spells this out as well. He's very savvy. He's very good at marketing. He's very good at YouTube search engine optimization. He knows what levers to pull to get eyeballs on things that he can either make money from or that he benefits from. And so if you set that as like the table stakes, you start to realize like everything he does is to generate views, downloads, and potentially, you know, subscriptions to Upswing, yada, yada. And so in that way, it is like very calculated. I think a lot of these things, do I think Doug Polk gives a shit about Charlie Carroll at all? I don't, but it's a conversation piece of fodder that he knows will generate views, generate interest, and put him and his properties under the limelight. Do you agree with that kind of basic premise?
Sure. I also think there's like an element of he is a winner, like, you know, or whatever, like someone who gets really good at things, and yeah, people who do that obsess. And he just probably, and I like when people switch from poker or different industries and succeed at it. You know, a lot of guys have done this and other things. So like when he switched over to, he was kind of like more of a full-time crypto streamer there for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I think it's cool when guys get into different things and succeed, and they don't have to go back to the corporate gig, you know, or something. I always kind of respect that. So I think just his personality makes him good at whatever he's obsessing with at the time. And yeah, so I don't know if like necessarily that's like, okay, he's good at this stuff, therefore he could just shit on anyone. Where maybe that's just part of the process of being good at YouTube. And then this Charlie guy just got in his sights. But I can't remember if he says in here too, he had a vendetta against that guy.
Against Charlie?
Yeah.
I think he mentions Justin Bonomo in here. And just from my outside view, I think like guys like Justin and Charlie get categorized as these like woke virtue signaling types within the poker community. And I think that like rubs a lot of people the wrong way. And a lot of them, I would say like Vanessa Selps generally fell in that category too, where I see like the kind of conversations that pop up on Twitter and these guys are kind of like battling. And so it does seem like maybe ideologically they're different. And so it's like an easy target. If you're like, my audience rolls their eyes at this kind of behavior, if I shine a light on one of the more absurdist things within this realm, I know that's going to play very well from everybody getting their popcorn kind of standpoint.
Mm. Andrew says in the comments that Charlie's anti-woke.
Oh, really? Okay. Then I'm completely, I'm completely out of this.
Cause I've also seen Polk say some, what was his campaign against the governor?
Oh, the one wasn't in it, Vegas?
Yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah.
She wanted to open the casinos and he wanted them shut or something.
Okay. Yeah, that was so long ago. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
I can't remember. There's been so many poker controversies, I can't keep track.
But I guess too, like thinking about it again from the clinic, a lot of it, what it reminded me of, and someone said here in the chat, is it Polk's fault? Where is this? Is it Polk's fault that other people act poorly? And another place you'll see this is I immediately thought of Dave Portnoy in Barstool, where a lot of times what happens is, say, someone writes a hit piece about Barstool or somebody, you know, offends Barstool or whatever it may be, and they come out and they say, look at this idiot, quote, retweet, look at this dumb article. And then what happens is the masses, because he has a very, you know, rabid fan base, all pile on the original poster. And the same playbook happens every time. And you go, oh, I was just like calling out that this was ridiculous. I'm not responsible for my audience saying death threats or bullying or saying all these horrible things. I didn't do that. And it's like, at some point you are responsible for weaponizing your audience.
Yeah. Honestly, I kind of like that he does that, or when people do that, like if you're going to write an unfair article about me, I'm sure as shit going to say something.
Right.
I mean, I don't have if I had like 3.7 million followers, some idiots are going to be idiots, but, Portnoy might be doing something. I don't know. I don't know. Like maybe you're dead on. He's like really, causing issues, but just generally speaking, I think you got me more on the side of Doug really quickly there, because of like, if someone's attacking him and stuff like that, like, hey, fuck you, game on then, pal.
But the way one of the whole Charlie Carroll thing and the way it transpired was he kept making these same jokes over and over and inferring something that was clearly not true. So and I think it is, if you're, yeah, go ahead.
Cut you. Cause this is kind of reminds me of us and you is like, just keep the bit going. So like it now, I know he says in there that he assumes that he knew eventually at some point he knew, but he kept doing the bit. So if that's true, that's different. But yeah, if he doesn't know, and the bit is some guy who I don't care about who attacked me is a pedophile or whatever it is, that's the bit. And then you just do it over and over again. Pedophile is pretty fucking hardcore, but you know what I mean? Like if something, whatever the bit is, and you just keep laying into it, like Davis is 15 years old. I do all the time, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And I just keep doing it. I don't care. You know what I mean? But like, obviously that's more friendly. Is it, do you think there's an element of that? Like it's just his bit and he says it all the time, or is it just pure maliciousness?
Well, it's somewhere in between. I feel like the maliciousness is a byproduct of being like a calculated marketer and someone who knows how to like drum up controversy and get people talking and placing yourself in the center of that controversy. Like if you look at, say, on the more like benign side of it, things like, you know, he's drumming up these $1 million heads up challenges saying anyone wants to come play at the lodge. The whole reason he's doing that is because it's great promotion for the lodge. And so once you see how his brain works, then you reverse engineer it. And it's like, this is a byproduct of him trying to accomplish those end goals.
What about the Negrano thing? So this kind of combines those two things you just said. So the bit is good. Like Negrano fucked up. More rake isn't better. It's, you could do that bit for a long time. I'm sorry. That's a good bit. It makes sense. Negrano shouldn't have done it. But the challenge and everything, how it played out, rubbed me personally the wrong way. Like I felt that Negron, you just paid this guy $1 million to fucking get him to leave him alone, essentially. And so like at a certain point, it's not right. But I mean, when that happened in the beginning, I was still more into poker and I was like, what the fuck is Negrano doing? Like clearly he's shilling this and rationalizing this. And so like just to do the more... I mean, the more rake is better. Everyone was doing that bit back then. Everyone, you would see it on Twitter. Everyone would do that bit. Oh, well, because more rake's better. You say it sarcastically to all your poker buddies. And so like, it wasn't just Polk, but eventually it did turn sour. And like, in my opinion anyways, but now like apparently they're best buddies and their wives are friends. So like.
Right. And so the one thing I think about too with two elements of this, right? With beefing too, there's a punching up and punching down thing. And I mean, Polk is massive in poker, but Negrano is still bigger. And so at least he was like punching up there. When you talk about like the Charlie stuff, you're definitely punching down. So that's an element of it. And then two, I really do think people can determine a beef on their own accord. Like Negrano is very active online. He's very talkative. He wants to be having these conversations. And so he was yapping back about all this stuff initially with the more rake is better. He doubled down. He was trying to like wiggle out of it. But if you just go quiet and you were basically saying, I don't want to be a part of this, then a one-sided beef truly is bullying. And that did start to seem kind of like what the Charlie Carroll stuff was. Whereas if you're constantly engaging in debate and going back and forth, to me, it's like fair game. But if you're shutting down and you're saying, this is having a detrimental effect on my life and I'm done with this and you keep piling on, that's when it veers into bullying for me.
Okay. Did you think Negrano then was bullying?
No, I'm saying the opposite there. I'm saying because Negrano was continuing to talk, because he was willing to debate, I agree to you that he kind of in a way got like backed into a corner where he basically had to accept that challenge. But to me, it felt more fair game punching up a guy who wanted to continue to engage in the dialogue. Like that to me seemed fair game.
Engage in the dialogue, I might agree with you. The punching up and down, I don't really agree with that premise in generally speaking. Like if some guy who has 16 followers, a total fucking asshole to me online, like I have every right to respond to him however I see fit. Doesn't matter if he has 16 followers.
That makes you look like, if I see you going back, whenever I see someone going back and forth with an egg or a comment troll, I think way worse of the person giving any time to that person than I do the troll.
That's you. I mean, you could think that, but I don't think punch. I mean, which is fine too, but I don't think that punching down then there means anything. Like yeah. It's like somebody's being a jerk to you. You could respond to them if you want. I don't think there's any. It's like, oh man, I wish you had 10,000 followers, then I could say something to you. Like, no, you could say something bad to. And also, like, yeah. Just because somebody has a lot of followers doesn't mean I could say whatever I want to them, or you know, like, no. If the, eventually now the guy has 10,000 followers and he's a jerk to me, he's like, finally, now I can respond to you. I don't
know, but I more mean in the optics of how it's going to scan in the public, right? Oh,
okay. Yeah,
like.
Sure.
If Portnoy and Joe Rogan go at it, that's like fair game. Like, just these are two titans. They could go at it. If Portnoy is going after someone who has a blog with 100 readers and is constantly piling on and his audience is all in the comments and blah, blah, blah. Like, that is a bad use of your platform, like, regardless of what leg you have to stand on.
Sure. Fair enough. But I just don't think there's anything wrong with defending yourself against somebody who has less followers or...
Yeah.
And I think there's something wrong with somebody who has more followers than you feeling, because this also happens. A lot of people feel like, oh, you got a bunch of followers. I could just say whatever I want to you. Now I could just do whatever I want to you. You know what I mean? It's like, well, that's not right. It doesn't make.
Yeah. But think about it this way. Like, if you use the word defend, like, do you really have to defend yourself to some small little fish who's saying something where does it really matter what they're saying? I feel like if you shine a spotlight on it, it's almost saying, hey, there's a kernel of truth to this and it's upsetting me. Whereas I would just ignore something that was minuscule from someone who didn't have a big audience that if I didn't think it was valid.
No, you certainly don't have to do anything. But like, you know, the effect, like the Portnoy effect thing could happen too, where this guy might change his behavior going forward, which would benefit society as a whole. Where. Yeah. Don't stop talking shit to people. And it could be a trolling situation where you're getting played and by reacting, you're right. You shouldn't react. And optically, maybe it looks bad, but I don't know. I just don't subscribe to the whole punching up, punching down thing in general. Like I don't get it. Like in comedy, I don't get it either. Like I think if it's a funny joke, it's a funny joke.
But I do think you have to acknowledge it in this dynamic with Galfond, because he's specifically saying part of the reason I feel like I need to speak out is because I'm punching across and that I'm one of the few people in the poker community that doesn't have to worry about financial or reputational blowback from getting in a larger scale beef with Doug Polk. He's like, he can attack me on his channel. Like my company will be fine. I'll have plenty of people come to my defense. I do think being on that level playing field is why he felt empowered to write that post.
That doesn't make any sense either. Like if he had 5,000 people, he shouldn't say something.
He shouldn't, but I'm saying he specifically wrote why he felt the need. And it was because he's one of the few people that like, if someone comes out, they are going to get trolled. They are going to have their stuff clipped up into a video and piled on. And he's saying, I'm at a place in my life where that's not going to impact me in the way it is impacting Charlie and whoever else.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. The whole general sentiment too is also like, why now? Why not say something before? I don't know if I buy that. Where it's like, oh well, because we're. I mean, I get that obvious logical inference that he has a lot of followers, so Polk can't hurt him as badly as someone who has less followers than him. But just, you know, if you see somebody and you have inside information of someone who's serially abusing people, I don't think it matters how many followers you have. You should probably say something.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think you could tell that there was a bit of guilt in his own post of saying, I wish I would have spoke up about this sooner, in this idea of like, we've all allowed this to be somewhat normalized. Going back again to the frog thing and in boiling water and basically being like, all right, now, yes, this is better late than never, kind of was what the tone I got from his post.
That's a good, a solid reason to not come out is like the first one, what am I going to do? You know, the second one, it's like, do I want to make a big deal out of it? And then the third one, it's like, okay, this is going over the line. And then the fourth one, it's like, I got to fucking say something now. So I think that's a perfectly valid reason for not saying anything yet. And we didn't, I don't think, but I still don't think we needed the 18 pages of morality and what it is to be a good person.
I'm just thinking about this more. And one thing that actually juxtaposes this in a good way is you mentioned Doug when he had his foray into doing a ton of crypto streaming and what he had a ton of success with, and he blew up his account on the back of, was exposing scammers in the crypto community. There was the BitConnect guys. There were the kids who were like shilling the altcoins, and he just went hard on those guys. And it did feel like fair game, right? Because if you're like a scammer and you're getting exposed, to me, you are doing the public a service, and you were doing it in a funny way of being like, these guys are trying to steal money from you. And also I'm going to make fun of what douchebags or how dumb they are. In poker, we just talked about how outside of heads up for rolls, those kind of opportunities don't come along as much. So if you're trying to manufacture drama in a target to go after, the pickings are more slim. And if you keep pushing the buttons, you know that will work. In poker, you end up landing on some targets that probably shouldn't be targeted. Okay. For content purposes, I think would be how I think he ended up there.
Here's one I thought was really strange. And I'm looking through the article. I'm trying to find the guy's name, but maybe you could remember. Do you remember when Polk had a video about a relationship with another poker player he had that fell apart? Does this ring a bell?
That might even be before I started
and watching. Yeah, he talked about like how this guy was demeaning to him, and they had like a bank, like he owed him money. I'm trying to find the name of it, because I know he mentions a bunch of people he called out.
Okay.
And I think he was one of them, which you insinuate from Phil that it was actually Polk bullying this guy.
Mm.
And I can't remember his name. Maybe somebody in the comments knows who I'm talking about. It was another poker player, like, you know, one of those old school guys. They were all, you know, in that group of theirs. And it's just, I watched that video and I 100% believed everything Doug Polk said and thought the guy he was talking about was a giant piece of shit, even though I didn't know him. He sold it like Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
No, not that guy, Andrew. It was different. I wish I could remember, so maybe you could watch the video and someone, and you could tell me if I'm crazy. Because if that's true, like if actually he's the bully in this situation, that is some psychotic behavior. That if he could pull off that acting.
Well, but I would say, Brian, like that's not an unfamiliar dynamic to content creators, right? Like if I can get on camera and if I say things confidently and I build up some kind of logical or plausible case, like you can convince people of a lot of things. I mean, I got people to draft Sky Moore in the 7th round last year. No one should have been doing that. But you know what I mean? Like, and Doug is a great storyteller. He's great at packaging his videos, all of that stuff. It's not surprising to me that the stuff he serves up, people kind of gobble up without maybe critically, you know, thinking through.
I agree 100% with that. But I'm telling you, this video was, you know, either a masterclass in acting. You know, the Daniel Legrandio poker masterclass. Polk should do one with acting if this accusation's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was overboard on how persuasive he was, at least for me.
Let's set aside the stuff about where Polk's in the wrong or not, and just think about this pragmatically.
Ben Halloran? I think it might have been Ben Halloran.
Oh. Okay, yeah. That name sounds familiar, but I don't remember the story.
He bashed Ben Halloran after their business agreement. I'm almost sure that's it, too.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a Ben Halloran video on Polk's channel where he bashes him. I think he does it multiple times, but there's one specific one where he does this whole soliloquy of their what happened, the ebbs and flows of the relationship, and how abusive this other guy was.
Yeah.
And how it made him feel and, like, really hurt him.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I feel bad for you. And here's what the story, you know, this is what Phil says. They keep getting brought up in conversation. Lug has come after countless people. So in his words, he came after this Ben Halloran guy. So I think that's and I haven't heard anyone say anything on Twitter about it. But I watched that like 2 years ago, probably.
Yeah.
And it was surprising when I saw Phil write about it in this. Because you didn't have to mention that. You could just do Daniel, Charlie, right, blah, 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 yeah. Berkey now, which we haven't touched on yet. But he specifically mentioned him, which I mean, I don't know. I sound like a madman here. Unless you see the video, you don't know what I'm talking about. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I think Phil was just trying to show a pattern of behavior across a ton of different, you know, situations where it's like the same stuff pops up over and over again.
Sure. But like this one specifically would not be one that you would bring up. This would be one where he was abused.
Yeah.
And to mention it, I'm not disagreeing with Phil, by the way. I'm just saying it's like surprising that he would, if he put that in there purposely, is what I'm saying. So his story on that, Phil is either not buying or something. And then the acting job then. Now, listen, two people could have different sides of a story. And maybe he really, really did feel hurt and all this other stuff he says in that video. You know, this is entirely possible. But it just struck me as a name that he brought up that he didn't have to. That's like, God, this guy might be a psycho.
Yeah. But what I was going to ask is like, what do you think? Because Doug Polk has been quiet on social media, even in his post Galfond reference, like I'm sure Doug is going to cut up all these clips making fun of me. Like that has been his defense mechanism to criticism previously is like, sure, you could probably make a pretty funny video attacking Phil Galfond, although he's pretty well liked in the industry. But I'm betting Doug and his team could probably find a way to do some playful jabbing. Do you think he takes that line or do you think he says, hey, this is actually too big? I'm talking like strictly like if you were on his PR team, like how would you be advising him to handle this situation?
I don't know. He's not a good spot. I don't know. I mean, he tried that apology video. That didn't work.
Yeah. Right, because it basically people were saying this isn't enough. This is not reflective of the damage that was done. This is years too late. You need to do more.
Yeah.
Element
of when the mob comes for you, though, it's never enough.
True. Definitely. Yeah. You could do a series of shows and there will still be people that say it's not enough. I think it's just interesting to see how he approaches this because normally it's been comedy.
I don't have an answer. What would you, if you seriously were being paid $100,000 a year to be on his team, what would you tell him?
I mean, I definitely would not. I would definitely not be firing back with a comedic video because a lot of the stuff too, and people were referencing the Twitter spaces and Phil Galfond references that too. And there's some audio of it where he doesn't come across good. And right now I feel like he's on the defensive, you know, with stuff. And I would probably take my L here. Honestly, because I think it's gotten so big that you're losing kind of the general public sentiment in the poker community being on your side.
What if you say something like, I respect Phil, but Ben Tolerant's a piece of shit. Alex Torelli is XYZ. Daniel shouldn't have said Morik is better. We've patched things up. And I have my problems with Berkey. What are you going to do? You know, you just kind of like, don't apologize. Stand your ground.
I think that would be bad for him, like reception wise.
He's got nothing deal breaking here except this Charlie guy.
Yeah.
I don't think anything's deal breaking here, is it? Because there's no sexual stuff. There's no.
No, there's no like, this would probably fall under like getting soft canceled, right? Where just people, there's such a groundswell of like, hey, we don't want to support Doug Polk, you start to see a trickle down effect of people saying, I don't want to go play at the lodge. Maybe the two nicest guys in poker, Andrew Nemi and Brad Owen, say, hey, we don't want to be associated with Doug if he keeps doubling, tripling down on these beefs. And now it's too much reputational, you know, contact high for us. Like that's where I think it would really start to get him if there were kind of tangible results. Everyone goes to Phil's site, Run It Once. Everyone's leaving there for Upswing. Like, if it actually happened in the like the dollars and downloads and networking aspect, that would be meaningful to Doug.
What about like a version of what I said, but a letter response to Phil on his Substack or wherever he wants to post his website? But just like I said, where he's like, I have to disagree with Phil on the Ben case. This is what he did to me. Here's my video of me sharing my soul on what happened. I disagree with on this case. Here's the video of what I think happened, you know, and I've apologized to Charlie and I'm going to do it again. Something like that, you know? So you like,
yeah.
Yeah. So instead of a pattern of abuse, it's a disagreement on perception.
Yes. Although the problem is for every example he comes up with to debunk, someone can point to another example of him doing. And so that's why I think it's more saying like, hey, I've made some mistakes. Some of this stuff I felt was justified and was me calling out things, but I am going to make a concerted effort to change the tone and the tenor of how I handle these situations going forward, knowing that they've had a negative impact on people's lives.
I mean, if that professional athlete, that's exactly what they should say.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they do say, and they never mean it.
Well, again, the court of public opinion will quickly judge him on future actions, whether he's, you know, holding up to that promise or not.
Yeah, I think that, like I said, I think when they come for him, they're going to do it either way. I think with that statement, either way, if they're done with him for the most part, everything he posts is going to get ratioed.
Yeah.
Regardless of that, even mine, which was basically similar to yours, just more long form response. I don't think that would work either. Either you're going to get ratioed or you're not. I think he's kind of fucked.
I don't think he would do a written thing just because I think in general you play in the sandbox you're most comfortable in, which for him is going to be like a scripted and well-edited video would be my guess how he would respond. Where Galfond's not going to feel like if those two did a debate where they prepared, like Doug would probably come across a little bit better on camera, a little more confident, a little bit more battle-tested like on screen, whereas Phil's going to feel much more comfortable articulating his thoughts. So that I'm guessing if we see any response, it'll be a Doug video and or maybe he does get together with Joey and they do like an interview, fireside chat type thing. I think that's where he will ultimately do some kind of response. Mm. But knowing Doug, even though it might be best for him to just like lay low and let this go away, I think even still the little content, you know, wheels will be turning for him and be like, let me just make some lemonade out of these lemons. Let's make.
I'm trying to think like a scumbag. Here's what I would do. Put your scumbag hat on, Pete. You pick out the one that's least accurate of the accusations and then just fucking hammer it and go like, this is not right. They're wrong. They're wrong on this. And then from there, it sowed seeds of doubt.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're wrong about the Ben Tollerud one. Why do you believe them on anything else?
Right. Well, and I think the problem is now there's so much like public evidence for some of this other stuff that you don't have as much plausible deniability.
But you give your allies
true
a talking point.
Yeah. Yeah. It is just a really interesting spot. I think for Doug now, because so many people and too, like, there's a reason he has such a massive following because he's made consistently entertaining content for a long time and has built up a fan base who enjoys that kind of content. So I will be fascinated to see how he handles it. I don't personally think Doug is like innately cruel. I think cruelty is a byproduct of his marketing and how he approaches his business stuff. And that's not letting it off the hook. But it's just saying that I think, like, even this is a really dumb example, but like Brian and I, before the show, every week, we're like, what do we want to talk about? You know, generally the day of, you know, do we have any topics? Like, I know that if I just put like Pete and Brian talk about whatever, like a lot of people aren't going to want to click on that, right? Like, you got to bring people in somehow. And normally you try to deliver on it. You know, people will call it clickbait, but it's like, hey, if we say we're going to talk about a DFS pro who vanished or whatever, we're going to talk about Empire Maker, you know, disappearing from Twitter. Like, so you do have to play that game of why should people watch your content? Why do you pull them in? Doug's really good at that. But you also know the most effective things are often sensationalized, are often drama fueled. And if there isn't drama kicking around, the content creator sitting here saying, hey, I can't just fire up a live stream about a couple of hands at the lodge last night, I need something that's going to rocket a view into 100,000 million view territory. And I think that's where you get in trouble trying to reverse engineer content for clicks on drama that isn't actually there.
So then are you saying that this isn't like a pattern of what would the term be? You know, I want to say, you know, abusive or whatever, you know, like a personality disorder type of thing. You don't think it has that element to it? You just think it's, he's trying too hard at clickbait? And
I think it goes back to, I thought you nailed it when you said he's one of those kind of guys that wants to win at all costs. He's just, I am going to win. And you get in my way, I'm going to bulldoze you and bury you because I am a winner. And he's won at like everything he's done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm leaning more towards you get like super obsessed with it, and maybe someone getting in your way is, would you have to like get them out of your life because they're taking time away from you becoming awesome at this. But
well, let me give you an example, Brian. If I wanted to, you know, have you seen that account, Fantasy Receipts? Have you seen that account floating around?
Yeah.
So it's just like it says, it's like freezing cold takes, but specifically for the fantasy community. The account is really shitty, not the premise of it, but the execution of it is just like really bad. And it's now not even doing like good. It's just like scraping the bottom of the barrel, trying to find dunks when, and like, trust me, there's plenty of dunks that you can,
I saw a Siege one the other day.
And like, you know, when Draft Cheat does the Siege dunks on some of the ridiculous takes, like that's like warranted, but I'm telling you, this account, the execution is awful. But my point was this: if I wanted to do a Fantasy Receipts-esque video, I could do a montage. I could call it the worst fantasy takes of 2023 or the worst fantasy takes of 2022. I could pull together clips of people staying stuff on podcasts, tweets, and just burying people for being idiots. I bet you I could get that video to 50, 100,000 views on my account. No problem. Yeah. Is that the kind of account in business or content I want to be making?
Yes.
No, absolutely not. But I know that that would be a path for far more views than me like breaking down Karain's fucking $3 million best ball roster. But you sell your soul to the content devil when you know certain types of content will outperform others. And once you've tasted that forbidden fruit of the million view video, you start to say, what are my paths there? And often the path of least resistance is being a fucking asshole.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you're selling me. You're selling me. When I read the Galfan piece, though, I was leading more, there's something wrong with this guy's personality, and people just didn't realize that he's like abusive to a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
And where there's smoke, there's fire. So if like four or five people are publicly saying things, that bullying or whatever the hell we're calling this,
yeah,
that maybe there's 10, maybe there's 15, maybe there's 20. But I do like your, if we go back to the PR guy, kind of like that angle that you're laying out. You know, he's not going to please anyone. I basically think the majority here is he's either going to get ratioed or he's not, and there's nothing he could do about it. And maybe a year from now, people will forget about it, or maybe they won't.
Yeah.
So I don't think, but if he is going to craft something along those lines, I think should be a piece of it. Where he's going, like I, you know, in my quest to get followers or whatever, I went over the line. Go ahead.
And just to kind of drive home the point of it always being like content based and through the lens of sacrilegious saying Doug's very smart and his primary focus is to win at all costs. Like as an example, he covered who is the cheater at the Stones Casino? What was that guy's name? I'm blanking on it.
Oh God,
Possel.
Possel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crotch Ripper.
Yeah. And so that story was just juicy enough and meaty enough on its own to drive views and drive clicks. You could literally just approach that from a pure investigative standpoint, similar to how Joey did all the live streams. It wasn't like Doug was digging up, you know, stuff on his ex-wife's family and posting their address and trying to like bury this guy. It was just like, no, there's enough drama and intrigue here that I can cover the case at face value and that'll get a ton of views. When that stuff is in the news, that's easy content fodder. You're like, that's fish in a barrel. When that stuff isn't happening and you're sitting here trying to storyboard what kind of video can I make that gets a million views, that's when you start to get into dicey territory.
Would you, let's say Postel somehow got totally redeemed, which I don't think is possible. And it did seem like he was cheating me, but would you go like, oh, Joey Ingram, what a piece of shit, you know? wow, I can't believe he did 100 videos on this Postel guy. So, like, I don't know if that's what's going on here, though, with Doug. Doug definitely seems more like they're claiming vendetta and stuff. I think we're being maybe a little too nice to at least the claims of the other side here.
Well, I would say in your example, if that came out, Mike Postel was absolved. He did nothing wrong. Yeah. There was all this I want to play out that hypothetical.
Yeah.
It would be, to me, it would be, how do those guys respond? Like, because again, I feel like you would fire up a live stream. You were covering this in depthly. You're like, holy shit, there's all this new evidence. This is where I was wrong. This is where I was jumping to these conclusions. This is crazy. And like, basically, you know, the same way the New York Times does a fucking correction, you know, 2 days later, like, you got to offer that up. If you dig your heels and say, hey, I don't believe this, or this is bullshit or whatever, then I think that loses credibility. But if you come out and say, hey, there's new information that I didn't know at the time, and now I'm going to take the L on that or my conclusion, I think that's fine.
Right. Yeah. Which is why I think the accusations, if that's the right word, are different, slightly different with bullying, because that's more targeted.
Yeah. And I think too, that's what it's like you were mentioning too, like, no one thing here is like Doug's going to get canceled, he's going to get deplatformed or whatever. I think it's because it's back to our joking title about toxicity in poker. I think that's what people are just rejecting, of like, hey, do we want to continue go down this path where all poker content is just all of us shitting on each other and going even beyond stuff that happens at the poker table? And then that goes back to the thing we talk about with DFS and like poker. At the end of the day, there's not that much interesting stuff. It's like we're moving toward a solved game that really super smart people have figured out how to beat. And there's not that much else to talk about unless we're all fucking fighting with each other.
For sure. I wonder, and also we started at the top, social media now and poker is just a huge, huge bomb thrown into the whole media ecosystem. But I wonder if it's also modern people, dare I say woke people, who also like to shame and call out bad behavior as they see it, adding to the visibility of it.
Yeah.
Where, you know, in 2012, they would have been like, you know, grow up, you know, shit happens.
Yeah.
Deal with it. Accusing someone of, and I think the line that people had here was the guy was actually a victim of abuse. But like, you know, this might be seen as, you know, a callous take, but like if he was doing a joke or something like that, like, you can't know everybody's history of their entire lives. I'm not saying that he should have done the joke in the first place, but like, you know, you can't like make a joke about a car and it's like, oh, my parents died in a car crash. Like, I don't fucking know, yeah. You know, or whatever, a plane joke. No, that's how my uncle went last year. It's like, sorry, dude, but like, you know, it's just a stupid plane joke. Like, you can't be responsible for everything.
Dude, that reminds me of, I'm going to tell a very random aside story that is exactly what you're describing. I was in a college trip. When I was in college, and a few of my buddies went to New York City, and one of my buddies' high school friends, it was this girl that he hadn't seen since high school, lived there. And he was like, I think she's kind of into me. Would you guys mind like wingmanning for me one night and he's hitting it off with this girl from high school. He hasn't seen whatever. I'm talking with her friend, just playing. And I'm with Lauren at the time already. So I'm just being like a good wingman, keeping her friend.
Yeah.
We're going and we're going to go back to her apartment and we're going to like watch a game. And he's going to like hook up with the high school girl, and like everything's going swimmingly. And we are on the metro or whatever. And I make some like joke. I don't know. I literally don't remember the conversation, but I made a headgear joke. Like, you know, when you have braces and like the kids were doing this. And the girl looks at me, the one I was like wingmanning for. And she was like, I had a headgear when I was a kid. And it was the most traumatizing experience of my life. And I kid you not, before they even got to their stop, She grabbed her friend off of my friend's lap. She's sitting on his lap on the metro as they're heading back to hook up, pulls her off the metro. It storms off. And my buddy John is looking at me. What did you just do? And I said, I made a headgear joke. that I didn't know I couldn't make. So yes, to your point, there are sometimes there's jokes you can't make that you wouldn't know you shouldn't make.
Yeah. Yeah. All the time. I have one I want to say so badly, but I can't. It's not appropriate. And I'll tell you afterwards.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah. Yeah. Zach asking, did you see the Barstool, the Mincy, one of their talents, I think, said a racial slur on a video, and then Penn Street or Penn Gaming said they had to fire him and Portnoy was trying to defend him.
Oh yeah. So I saw the tweets. I couldn't tell parody from truth with him. And I saw he was shitting on this Mitzi guy. And I just figured, like, doesn't he do that with all his employees? And I didn't know there was something behind it. And then I saw, again, I can't tell parody of truth with him. He took his cancel culture shirt off the bar stool.
I didn't see that much stuff.
So it must be in response to this Mitzi situation.
I just watched the video, and it was basically Dave saying, I wouldn't have fired this guy if it was up to me. In fact, I was trying to fight for him to stay employed. But when we sold our company to Penn Gaming, that is a regulated sportsbook operator, we know that we were going to have to live and die by their decisions. And if they're worried about getting their licenses pulled and they say we need to put up this sacrificial lamb or fire this guy, then we just have to say yes. And that was the deal we made when we sold the company. But to make sure the fans know I am okay with, you know, slip ups involving racial slurs, I want you to know I did pound the table to keep them here, but my hands are tied was kind of like the extent of the video.
Interesting. I mean, even the Whole Foods guy, why is his name blanking on Howard? Even Bezos owns Whole Foods. So even like multi-billionaires are owned by trillionaires, you know, these days. Yeah. And what are you going to, what are you going to do?
Right.
Like they own the company.
You don't become worth $100 million without selling to a billionaire who's going to give you $100 million of their billion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then when they go, I don't like that. What can you say what he or in roundabout terms? What did he say? Does anyone know?
It said he was reading song lyrics and said a racial slur. So I just assume it was the N-word.
Oh, God. Those are so annoying. It's like.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you got to stop there if you're around people or something. But like, why is he reading song? Okay, whatever.
And this goes back to the thing, too, of like Barstool does themselves no favors, right? Because people are on pins and needles waiting for Barstool to mess up because their history of behavior like weaponizing their audience. And so when they do, the pitchforks come out. My guess is if it was another company with a better track record, maybe the company is able to apologize and suspend the employee as opposed to firing them. Like, I do think it is a specific byproduct of how people in the media view Barstool. And they're like, shit, we are just going to get raked over the coals. We have to do something quickly.
I mean, I understand the logic you're using there, but then why buy Barstool initially? Like, you know exactly what they are. And if you're gonna,
Yeah, Kitchen saying he was a big. I've seen like a couple of his clip, but yeah, when big corporations take over edgy entities, there's no.
Yeah, but then why buy him, Dave? You know, like. What I mean, these fucking corporations—they buy shit and ruin it, brands all the time. So I don't know why I'm even.
Well, I mean, on paper, right? Like, it makes so much sense. If you ran a sportsbook company, the number one demographic I would want placing bets on my site would be the Barstool audience. Literally, that would be the number one demographic I would choose. A massive group of bros with disposable income who are fucking dumb as shit. Like, that's the most perfect audience you could ever have to bet on your platform. How
dare you attack the stoolies like that?
Oh, no. I love the stoolies. I think everyone knows that they're not the brightest bulbs out there.
I think it's like another thing, too, is you don't want to bite the hand that feeds you here. You know, so like if they are a bunch of dummies, you know, you don't want to offend their sensibilities. Then you lose all the money you paid for when 25% of them leave, you know?
Yeah. And honestly, like, you know, Portnoy can act like they're so sad about having to let this guy go, but this is a win. Not, I don't want to say a win-win for them, but like, it's no shirt off their back. To Penn, they say, hey, we fired the guy. We did what you said. And then you can go on and tell your fans, I didn't want to fire him. We would have let this go But and so then they say, oh yeah, that's the Dave we know. That's the Barstool we know. Like from a PR perspective, he's going to emerge from this unscathed.
You know, that company's gone downhill ever since they let go of Chris Spags.
Hey, their loss is splash plays gain.
Is the cancel culture t-shirt removal, is that a bit he did too? I can't tell. They were like the tweets were back to back. But I mean, was kind of more what I was saying too, is like, you know, you're saying Penn, it's not a big deal for them. And sure, it could, but like eventually, you know, grains of sand can make a heap, right? So if you like, you know, I'm assuming a bunch of stoolies probably don't like cancel culture, and that's why he was selling shirts. And so if you go like, fuck you guys, we're taking the shirt out too now. And then you just keep, eventually the Steelers are going to go like, you know what? You're a sellout, Dave. We're not wasting our money on your sportsbook anymore. We'll go waste it at DK.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's so funny that the way these conversation topics like ebb and flow, but like the reason I don't actually think stoolies will ever like vote with their wallet or stop is because they are so obsessed with the reality television show that is Barstool Sports in general. And the genius of that platform is how they have let everyone in on like a very like interpersonal level of, someone mentioned like, this is what Bravo does for trying to get drama. It's like, that's what Barstool has done. The genius of Barstool is that it's a reality show. And that goes back to, I think, the kind of content that people like. And it's like, I think that's why they're ultimately able to get away with being slightly more corporate with their sponsorships, is because they do continue to just pull back the veil and let everything transpire in front of people in a way that people feel a part of it, whether they like it or not.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, they've clearly done a good job for what they were trying to accomplish. Yeah. And I think I think it's really just as simple as the corporation is putting their foot down.
Yeah.
And who knows where it's going to end up. I mean, this is kind of a side corollary, but like, you know, with the recent Bud Light advertising thing where they had to fire a bunch of their VPs, apparently didn't go over so well. They're losing a whole bunch of sales this quarter. Like, I think it's kind of similar. Like, what do you think Bud Light drinkers are kind of like? Yeah. You know, what do you think stoolies are kind of like? You know, what do you think they kind of like or don't like? Huh? Anyone there say that?
Have we painted the portrait, Brian, of Bud Light drinking, Barstool watching, Doug Polk subscribing, 28-year-old bro?
They're wearing the cancel culture shirt, drinking a Bud Light.
Yeah.
Watching the latest Doug Polk video.
Yeah. Well, here's my question. Let's do another hypothetical here. What if Dave was the one who slipped up and said the racial slur on Barstool Airwaves?
They're not doing shit.
It's like the star player, right, gets like a 4-game suspension, but the bench warmer gets released from the team.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And I have no problem with that. That's like, your life's not fucking fair. You know what I mean? If you're making me money, then you get more chances. I mean, I could understand that mindset anyways.
Geez, Kitchen, I didn't know you were such a stoolie, man. You seem to know every inner working. Okay, you guys are better stoolies than me.
Wait. So what am I missing here? He did what?
They're inferring that he did what the guy
Gotcha. So we're right. Yeah, he didn't.
Guess it got happened to him. Shoved under the rug there.
Yeah.
Well, it's,
honestly, song lyrics, I don't know the situation, so I don't want to get in trouble. Someone's singing a song lyric, I think you could fire him for that.
Please don't. I mean, I would like to see you just in general do song lyrics around here, Brian. Like maybe we could have a Lulz karaoke night.
Lucky for you, I know not one lyric from any rap song ever written, so you're safe.
Lauren's been getting so mad at me because I just don't have a musical bone in my body, and I just can't remember lyrics and melodies. Like I can memorize blocks of text well, like, you know, like when I was a kid, like Bible verses, I memorized the shit out of those, but something with melody, it just does not work in my brain. And so now we have all these toys, right, for April that play these little kid songs on repeat, and I'll be like singing along and butcher some of the lyrics, a song that Lauren has now legit heard like 300 times. And she gets so mad at me. She's like, how do you not know that the lyric goes all the animals at the animal fair? And I'm like, I'm sorry. Okay. Like it just has it snuck its way into my ear at this
point. I swear that's genetic.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some people can hear notes more clearly and, you know, just debate whether perfect pitch exists. And I'm the same way as you. So like, Beatles songs, for example, right? Like I love, I don't listen to them much anymore, but I used to listen to them all the time, have their posters and everything. And I was a guitar teacher, could play every single Beatles song. Yeah. Can't remember their fucking lyrics of the Beatles.
Yeah. I'm with you on stuff like that.
Not all of them. Not like, obviously like I could remember most of them, but sometimes I'm like, I don't know which verse this one goes in. I couldn't understand. You know, and there's classic, songs where people get the lyrics mixed up, but yeah. Anyways, I think it's the genetic, and I have the same gene.
I never feel more stupid than when I'm trying to sing like a very, very famous song and I'm forgetting basic lyrics.
Have you ever played Rock Band or karaoke?
Yeah.
Actually see the lyrics. You're like, that's what it was.
Oh yeah. Well now Lord will catch me cheating now, because often on Spotify too, there'll be like a lyric thing. Like if you have it on your phone, and so the lyrics were there, and Lauren will be like, holy shit, you know the lyrics to these songs. And then she's like, oh no, you're reading them right there off of the phone. I'm like, yep, you caught me. Breaking news here before we wrap up. Darren Rovell is on the case. $560 million, what Penn has lost on paper today as stock is down 13%. $551 million, what Penn paid for 100% of Barstool. So Barstool stock actually taking a hit, to your point. Are these stoolies upset in dumping their stock because they're embracing cancel culture?
I wouldn't think so. Even though that was my idea, I wouldn't think it would be that hard.
Yeah. Oh man.
I don't know if it is though. I love it. We do live in a clown economy, Ryan.
Yeah. So there it is. A fun lulz episode there. Great to get back to our roots talking toxicity here.
Yeah, did we finally solve toxicity in the poker community?
Hang on, let's do this. Let's just both look at the camera and just make a plea to Poker Nate. Guys, can you just stop with the toxic shit? Like, can you just go back to talking about ranges and blockers and, you know, big pots?
Didn't we have, what was our bit? I can't remember any of our lulz League of Legends bits. We used to have some.
Well, the reason the whole toxicity thing started is because the League of Legends hardcore fans who also casually played DFS, they got so mad when the DFS bros came in with their optimizers and solved their game in like 6 slates. And they're like, and they wanted to have their cake and eat it too. They like wanted the bigger prize pools, and they like want all the fish coming in who are now playing it. But then they would get really mad about like, well, these guys are using optimizers to make life. It's like, yeah, we are. So I just remember them really being mad at the DFS.
I remember like there. Anyone could say like the most benign thing in chat. Like, I'm, this show's a little boring and no toxicity. No, and it is everyone gangs up on any comment.
Those are the good old days.
Yeah.
The good old days. Brian, anything going on in your neck of the woods? I know we're on upcoming best ball streams. You got some cool stuff going on with the draft caddy here that we might be able to debut soon.
It had to switch developers, so it's put us a month behind. So hopefully next week
we'll have
an update, a big update for the best ball 4. And yeah, we'll do it on stream here.
People in the chat were saying, how is Peter affording to not draft as I, you know, am on my quest to live stream all 150 of my drafts. Don't worry, we will be drafting some teams on lulz this summer for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, audio will be up shortly. I actually need to touch base with you about my schedule next week, Brian. My parents are going to be in town, so my schedule might be a little wonky, but I will touch base with you. We'll figure it out. Appreciate you guys all in the chat. Stay safe out there. Stay non-toxic. And we'll see you guys next time. Peace. Thank you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.